I believe there was some question about whether the carry forward would, you know, could, this could happen. That's wonderful news.
Yeah, it is very good news.
Now, what about the, under the budget, the grant that was being proposed with the other states, the multi-state consortium for the, the innovation grant?
Thank you for bringing that up. We actually just found out 2 days ago that the multi-state application did not get awarded. So we are a bit disappointed. Literally 2 days ago, we just got that notification.
That seems to happen with grants.
We were told there were a tremendous number of applications. And unfortunately, our consortium, of which we were a member with several other states, we just didn't get it. So that's very new news, but thank you for the reminder to bring that up.
Well, thank you for, I know that the budget is in good standing, and a lot of that is due to your knowledge and efforts, and again, I want to thank you.
I do for legislation. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eileen.
Well, I'm just going to ask if there are any other questions from other members.
Yes. This is Al. The $750,000 you mentioned, is that Social Security reallotment, or is that a different fund?
No, that's Federal Voc Rehab Title I reallotment.
So how about the Social Security reallotment? Anything on that?
There is no Social Security reallotment. Those are based upon claims. When somebody exits the Voc Rehab program successfully, we're able to put in a claim for those costs that we expended. So that's considered program income. That's on a case basis.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I apologize, Mr. Real Chair. I didn't realize that you were here. Would you like to resume your duties?
Sure. I just got here a few minutes ago. You've been doing a tremendous job, I lead it. So,
we're up to legislative update.
Is Andrew with us?
He might be, but I just wanted to report on one quick item, and then we can turn to Andrew. I just wanted folks to be aware, you know, the Vocational Rehabilitation Program has had its primary focus for many, many years on competitive and integrated employment for folks with disabilities. But nonetheless, there is a relatively old law which allows for folks with disabilities to be paid below the minimum wage in certain circumstances if there's a, what they call, special worker certificate in place. And in the House of Representatives in Congress, a bill was introduced, House Bill 2373, and it would phase out subminimum wage and increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour for people with disabilities. It would have a five-year phase-in to take full effect, and the bill has been referred to the House Committee on Education and Labor. So I just wanted to report on that. And Andrew, are you available?
Yeah, I'm getting off of you. Would you pose that question again? Someone had just stepped in my office to ask me a question, so I heartily apologize.
I just wanted to know if you were available to give a report, and I'm going to step away from the computer for a moment while you give your report.
Yes, and I thought that might be what you were asking, but then also I wondered about being asked something more. Again, my name is Andrew Norton. I'm the Legislative Liaison for Aging and Disability Services. And welcome to our newest member, Steve Famiglietti. I don't have a lot to report right now. The legislature's been awfully busy for it being the off-session time. You may have seen in the news, it was well covered, that they've granted the governor an extension to his emergency powers authority, which he's using much less than he had been a year ago, but there's still some things he wants to execute. And at this point in time, I'm not sure that ADS has any particular bills we'll be asking the legislature for next year. We did get we had put in a bill 2 years ago, which died, like almost all bills, because of COVID shutting down the session. So we put large largely the same bill in again this year, 2020, and it passed this year. It made some changes to the advisory board for people who are deaf and hard of hearing. It consolidated some parts of our statutes. It made some adjustments to our assistive technology loan program. And those are the three areas that were biggest. Everything else was very just grammatical changes sometimes in the law to fix things up. And I'm not sure at this point that we're going to be asking for legislation next session, which is the short session of the General Assembly. Theoretically, they just work on budgetary work. They never hold true to that tradition, so it isn't really a tradition. But they do have much less time to do things. It's a three-month session instead of a five-month session that just completed this year. So I'm not sure we're going to be asking for much of anything. I do know that I got a call that I need to answer from one of our clients who was interested in the new pedestrian law that insists that motorists yield to someone as they're even about to enter a crosswalk, or if they raise their hand to gesture that they're stepping from the sidewalk into the street to make our streets more, well, they've done things to make the streets more friendly for bicyclists and for pedestrians. And of course, in the pedestrian area, that applies to blind people, maybe even more so. Life is a bit more dangerous on the road for someone who can't see than for someone who can. So that, I think, goes into effect tomorrow. But that was not part of our proposal. That was, a safe streets proposal. So I don't know that next year we'll be doing much more than monitoring legislation. A bill, I think, did not finally pass that was going to change. Again, it was not an agency bill, but about guide dogs, where guide dogs, as mentioned in Connecticut law, were now going to be called service animals to link them up very exactly with the federal law. And the federal law talks about service animals, although service animals are defined as dogs, so not very different. And as you know, sometimes there are ongoing battles between people, not battles, but some differences of view between people using service animals, dogs and other animals as emotional support animals rather than a dog that's trained to assist you with a disability. And that goes on, but it doesn't seem as if it's as big a controversy lately as it was a couple years ago, but we'll keep our eyes on that. So at this point in time, just having given you that quick review, or maybe it wasn't quick, but I don't really have much else to report. And of course, our agency pays attention to issues dealing with all disabilities and with senior citizens, Meals on Wheels, all sorts of programs for senior citizens matter to us also. But regarding specific blind issues, I'm not sure there are any issues that are going to be coming up next year from our agency. And we'll watch any that come from any other corners. But I guess that's my report, Madam Chairwoman.
I've resigned. Al is back.
Oh, Al is back. Oh, I see his face here.
All right, yes.
Okay. So Chairman Silvestri, I'm open to any questions.
I do have a question for you. Just wait for the interpreter to return here. See, my screen indicates the interpreter is not there. There she is. This is Al, and I wanted to ask, there was a bill, if I remember correctly, some time ago, and I don't know if it has passed, but it had to do with changing some archaic language in the statutes, eliminating such words as handicap. Has that in fact passed, or do you know what the status
and
of that
is? A couple years ago, there was a multi-agency effort to clean up parts of, I think there may have been a section of our statutes that said visually handicapped at one point or something like that. There weren't many such references, but in other parts of the statutes there were, and I contributed to that effort with areas, and also to use person-first language. And so that bill did pass. As with any sweeping change to the statutes, they could have missed something somewhere. So there could still be out there some piece of our statutes that where the word handicapped is there, or it's not person first usage or what have you. But I think they caught 99% of such older references and cleaned it up. So that did pass into law.
Excellent. With regard to pedestrians, with the new statute, yes, if you indicate you're going to use a crosswalk, motorists must stop. Along those lines, a lot of the yield to pedestrian signs that you've seen in crosswalks, or you may have seen in crosswalks, are now yielding, if you will, to stop for pedestrians signs, because apparently yield is not strong enough language. And also, you may or may not have noticed, but along many of Connecticut roadways, before you get to a crosswalk, you have these things in the street that look like shark teeth.
Which is, I love it.
Yes, which is what they're nicknamed. They're called shark teeth.
I'll just get off this, this way.
Oh, they're still going.
Yeah, they're still going.
Well, what they do is
talk
they...
about transportation. Just
air shape.
You know.
Is that on mute?
Yeah.
Yep, somebody's unmuted there. Okay, but anyway, the shark teeth are showing up in more and more places, and they are a way of indicating to motorists that there is a crosswalk upcoming, and that they need to yield, or our preference, of course, is to stop for pedestrians. So you'll be seeing more and more of those as time goes by. And does anyone else have any questions for Andrew?
Hello, Stephen.
Steve, go ahead.
Andrew, that was a good report. However, is there any updates on what's going on with the State Library for the Blind? I understand there's some controversy about it was supposed to move to Middletown, but transportation was a problem.
I'm afraid I don't have a fresh update. I was asked about that a while ago, and I hadn't known that they were planning to move it from Middletown, from Rocky Hill, I think. To Hartford, where the state library is headquartered, but I do not know the latest whether that move is complete or whether the move was aborted, as you suggest. Maybe something got in the way. I'm sorry, I don't have the latest, except I knew that in the last budget it was proposed as a consolidation, as an efficiency, to move the Connecticut Library for the Blind from Rocky Hill to Hartford. But I don't know the very latest.
Beth Ravel? Andrew?
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes.
We actually have the Middletown librarian, the director, speaking at our convention about that. So anyone interested, please contact Lucia or come on our hybrid convention, which means you can either be there in person or you can come virtually and listen to her speak about that.
She's the Middletown, City of Middletown librarian?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Andrew?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Andrew. Hearing none, let's move on to our next agenda item, which is... points to the good amount here. If I may, which of course I may since I'm the chairman, I'd like to take my chairman's privilege to just offer my thanks to Brian, as I'm sure others will. But I just wanted to say that it has been a pleasure and an honor working with you, Brian. And in the 30 years that I've known you personally, you've been nothing but supportive of me as a client, advisory board member and chairman, and as a member of the blindness community. As a champion of our community, you're leaving some exceptionally big shoes to fill. The advisory board and I feel confident expressing these wishes on behalf of the advisory board. We wish you the best of good fortune, good health, and good memories to be made as you move on to the next chapter in your life. And I just want to say, offer my deepest and most heartfelt thanks to the work you've done all these many years. And we're going to miss you, Brian, but carry on, and I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Any other points to the good and welfare?
Yes, it's Eileen, if I may. First of all, I forgot to mention when we were talking about Blind Americans Equality Day. Personally, I'm going to be attending, I'm part of the Lions Cabinet for Lions District 23C, and I will be speaking briefly to the cabinet about Blind Americans Equality Day, and that will ultimately impact 56 Lions clubs in Connecticut. So that is something I will be doing. The next thing, I just want to comment those what you mentioned about the street crossing, but I forgot what you call them, but I think the real, well, what I'm calling, what I think what you might be talking about is truncated domes, and as a blind person, I just find them tremendously useful, because very often, there's very little delineation between the sidewalk and where the street crossing is. So I love those things.
Truncated domes are becoming a standard for those places where the street meets the sidewalk. So as time goes by, you're going to see more and more of those installed.
That's fantastic. I mean, really, I they're such a wonderful safety item. The next thing I want to say about the library transfer, I think one of the concerns in the blind community is that there was so little notification that members found out just by accident that the head of the library for the blind and physically handicapped had left. They knew he was planning to retire. They didn't think it was going to happen until June, and all of a sudden he was gone. So I think as much as anything, it was not the only issue, but communication was a big concern and implications about that. I just want to clarify that point. And finally, I would just urge, as we move forward, it has been tremendously wonderful, and I said this before, to have when the minutes are published, when the draft minutes are published, to actually have those not just on the BESBE website, but also readily available, either as a direct message or a link or something. That is just a wonderful way of proceeding, and I hope that will continue. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Sure, go ahead, Steve.
Stephen, I have two points I wish to bring up. One is, Eileen and I are going to be doing a presentation at the Northeast AER Conference in November. It will be virtual, and it's a pleasure to have her and I working together. We're going to be talking about pandemics and emergency situations. Don't plan, but we must. So we will be doing our presentation on November 5th from 8 to 9, and it will all be virtual. You have to consult the AER folks about the other programs that are being offered. I think there's about 29 programs that are being offered at that time. So I just wanted to give you that update on what's going on.
Dave, could you refresh my memory about what the initials AER stand for, please?
Eileen, I think it is American Education Rehabilitation.
Well, probably, maybe association. I don't, yeah.
Association, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Education and rehabilitation.
Thank you. Anything else, Steve?
Yeah, I wanted to thank Brian, because I remember when Brian came to work with BESBE and joined us as a supervisor where I worked in the same department with him. So it's been very nice going on, and I wish him the best. And we'll keep his whole family in our prayers.
Very good. Anything else? Any further points to the welfare? Anything else, Steve?
I had a thing, but it went out of my ears.
Okay, maybe it'll come back as we go around. So let's
take
a pin in that and come back to you. Anybody else with points to the good and welfare?
Oh, I remember.
Yes. Oh, you got it. Okay, good.
I sent an email to the commissioner, Amy Porter, to offer her to come on Focal Point, the radio show that I've been hosting for 29 years, and to talk about the changes that will be occurring in aging and disability. So I'll wait and I'll try and let you know when the program's put together.
Okay, that sounds good. Will that be a virtual program, Steve? Our attendance being virtual, that is.
Well, I think it's going to be, you know, Chris Radio will air it, and it'll be, you know, you can hear it.
Okay. All right, very good. Thanks. That is certainly something to look forward to.
Thank you. And I thank you all for the opportunity to serve on this advisory committee and also with Chris Radio. It's always been a pleasure.
You are a valued and trusted member, and we appreciate your leadership, Steve. I can't emphasize that enough.
But, thank you.
This board owes you so much, and I am so pleased that you're sticking with us. Any other points to the good and welfare? Coming full circle, I just wanted to offer an anecdote, and I apologize to those for whom this is something that you've heard before, but I remember when I started graduate school, and I found myself in need of a computer, and it was one of the first times that I'd ever met Brian, and as I was working through the agency's bureaucracy, trying to get a computer with a dot matrix printer back in the early 90s, Brian kindly offered to give up his own work computer to be sure that I had the tools that I needed to succeed in graduate school. And knowing just that about Brian, I knew that we had someone special who was looking out for our interests and lived up to that promise the entire time that we have known him here. And that, as much as anything, speaks of his dedication to our community.
Thank you, Al, and that's very... I wish you all the very, very best in everything you do. It's a bit surreal that this is it, but anyway, thank you all for your wonderful support over decades, and I'll miss you, but you all take care, stay well, stay healthy, and I just wish you all the very best.
You too, Bob.
Okay, with that, I would like to give Brian the last word, unless we have any others who've thought of points to the good and welfare that they'd like to offer. Hearing none, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Sileen.
We have a second.
Second, Beth.
Second from Beth. All right, very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Actually, I think we can do this by acclamation because a motion to adjourn is not has top priority. So, by acclamation, we are adjourned, and we will see you all, at least most of you, when the snow flies in December. Or if the snow flies, I'll be just as happy. All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it? You're no, I did it.
Oh, you did do it.
What are you doing?
I know.
Okay.
Look what they're doing. Yeah. And they're only going to pay for four tests. After that, you've got to pay out of pocket. I can't keep doing that.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
I was just going to show you the vitamins and stuff that, in case you do get it.
Is that something you can forward me?
I can.
Is it a picture?
It's a picture.
And I started taking them.
One of them was vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
Or I can take a picture of your phone.
I think I have here. So it's zinc 50 milligrams.
I added
the zinc.
Let me take a picture. Okay.
And then vitamin C, I added the part powder, emergency, and I drank it that way. And this one.
Oh, really?
This is the one that is antioxidant, huge antioxidant. It's supposed to help with respiratory, so that's what causes
the asthma.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you do.
Just forward it. So I just got to add two then.
Yep.
Yeah. You might go to cave.
Oh, God, they got us. They got us. We got no choice, really.
But it was your dad, right?
Yeah.
Who passed away?
Yeah, six hours later, he had a massive stroke, and he died 7 weeks later.
And you are okay? I've been fine.
I only got the first vaccine. Mm-hmm. My sister and her husband got it yesterday. My brother got it last week. My other brother got it, who lives in Watertown, he got it like 4 months ago.
And everyone's fine.
Everybody's fine, but we're all getting the Pfizer. My cardiologist says, do not get the J&J.
You know what to do.
She said not to get the J&J because it causes blood clots, and I have a heart thing anyhow. But, not that I was thrilled about getting it.
No, I got it.
You first.
Yeah.
But I'm going to still let people know that.
Good.
Keep away from me. I'm just going to say I don't blame you.
You still have to be careful.
Oh, of course. Everyone with COVID everyone vaccinated can get COVID.
Yes.
So that's why I say, in addition to the vaccine, so I just started, my husband said, I had a scratchy throat last week. I'm like, okay, let's start the COVID protocol.
So I only take those, do I take them every day?
I'm going to take them all winter.
Okay.
I'm going to Spain most likely in November.
Oh,
and I want to be healthy. So they just build up your immune system.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take them all winter.
Yeah.
Or at least until I go to Spain.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah. Especially on the airplane.
Yeah.
You should wear an N95 on the airplane.
I have them. I have the N95.
Okay.
For airplanes.
Okay, good.
Even though that's very filtered and it's actually cleaner than like this.
Yeah. Oh, the airplane?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yep.
I've heard that. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you.
Yes. Let's say you were turned down at some DCF facility. It's not as if the BESBY